Okay, put our hands together for Chrissy.
Good morning. Oh, you may sit down. I'm not sure why he made you stand up, but anyway, you're very obedient. Oh, that's great. Yeah, thank you so much. All right, good morning. Wow, there's lots of gaps today. I hope everybody's enjoying their Labor weekend. I guess you'll enjoy tomorrow even more, those of you that got the day off. So welcome to church. It's great to be in church, isn't it? Put your hand up if you love church. I love church. Oh, that's good. I'm glad I'm in good company. I'm just going to put my glasses on, which doesn't help me see you, but it helps me see what I'm supposed to say. So praise God. Well, I get the opportunity to speak today, and I've been looking forward to this. My husband will go, no, you haven't. Yes, I kind of have, because the closer it gets, the more you just want to kind of discharge it. So anyway, I hope that this is a word that will bless you this morning. We have been going through Hosea. Who's enjoyed Hosea? Yes, good. Some hands up. There you go. You should be encouraged. This week, however, we're taking a series break, and you've got me. And then next week, of course, we've got the big weekend. And I want to just echo what Infe said. This is going to be such an exciting Sunday. So please don't miss it. Just to the journey that God's taken us on in this building has been tremendous. So please come, and come early. So this week is a series break, and next week, and then we're going to pick up Hosea again. This message is a little lighter in content than Hosea, so we can just take a bit of a breath. But it's still significant, I believe, in its message, and I believe that God gave it to me for you for today. So that brings me great comfort. This is not just something I've invented, but I know that I trusted God to give me something, and it's not easy making a message out of the sky, any of you who have tried to do that, but I'm just trusting God that he is going to speak to you this morning. So who knows that life's journey is a mixture of mountains, plains, and valleys. You got it. Very good. And I like to use pictures just to normal life experiences to share how we do life with God. Is that okay? So I'm a very real person, a very practical person, not too theoretical, quite simple, but hopefully you'll get what I'm going to talk about. So who's heard the phrase, life's journey? Life is a journey. It's a journey. Okay, apparently that word has been overused. So my son at his 21st birthday said, well, I could talk about my journey, he said, but that word's just been used so much. So I'm going to talk about my road trip. And I thought, oh, that's cool. The road trip. All right. So there you have a very cutesy picture of a road trip. My family has been on many road trips. And we've had a lot of fun. We've been in the far north to Kirikiri. We've been to Cape Reinga. We've camped at Kaiwi. Who's camped at Kaiwi? I know there's a few of you. Yeah. We spent a lot of years camping at Kaiwi Lakes, a beautiful spot. Maunganui, Rotorua, Napier, Lake Tekapo recently, to just name a few. And our road trips have always started off with great excitement and anticipation once we finally get everybody in the car with everything that we have to take, which with four kids, if you don't know me, I've got four sons, and they're all big now, but I wouldn't want to take them on a road trip now, I don't think. Anyway, excitement and anticipation of a great time with everything going as planned. But, as you know from these road trips, we collect memories, sometimes of intrepid or anxious moments, adventurous moments, and you never know quite what's going to happen on the road trip, right? And these moments have brought out the best and the worst in all of us. We've been camping in a hurricane where all I can hear waking up in the middle of the night
from Carla's, "Dad, my tent's on top of me. Help!" And it's so loud in a tent because there's no insulation, right? You hear everything. To having the trailer full of camping gear and having a puncture on the state highway in the trailer, looking through the rear vision mirror and seeing the rubber of the tire disintegrate. Oh my gosh, we've got to pull over. So I was parked with the trailer while the rest of them went into town to try and find a place to get the puncture repaired. And the trailer's being propped up, you remember this, with wood and stumps that we collected from a local farm. And this car's zooming by while I'm just sitting there hoping that the trailer doesn't fall down. Please come back soon. So just crazy moments, but memories, intrepid journeys. But in the end, the day was always saved, and we all learned a bit more about each other, and we all appreciated each other a bit more. So I want to show you a photo of my family. I hope you can see that. This one on the left was a journey we took to the far north, Kerikeri, and 90 Mile Beach is where we are journeying in this photo. I'm not in the photo because I'm taking the photo, as you can see, but the boys were a lot younger. Shane had his mop of hair, and Isaac and Sammy were just little. This is 90 Mile Beach. You can drive along this beach for those of you who have not been there. It's actually a designated road. However, I would say that you really need to have a four-wheel drive, because anything can happen at any moment and any time, and I'll share a little story about that as we go along. The other photo is me and my first baby car. I loved my car. I must have been all of 19 or 20. I mean, it was just, you know, a few years ago. anyway, I loved that little car. It was a Datsun 1200, and none of you all know what that is because it was such a long time ago. And I took that car around the South Island myself, with friends and family, and 90 miles an hour on the plains of Canterbury. Oh, you didn't hear me say that. That was my goal, and she did it. It was only a little engine, but anyway, just some fun photos to share with you. So God has a chosen journey or road trip for all of us, right? And it's filled with intrepid moments. But when we commit our lives into His care, His plan begins to unfold. But this usually involves a lot of joy, but it often enjoys pain and challenges that we think we cannot bear. But if we journey with the presence of God, and I want you to remember that phrase, with the presence of God, you journey your road trip with the presence of God, then you cannot help but grow and you can be effective for God in the kingdom. So each of us has a journey to fulfill, but there is a measure of brokenness that we all have to come to in order to fully rely on God. Sometimes we just keep plowing on, right? Plowing on our journey. We're determined to continue on a particular route of the road trip when God is saying, and the conditions, the weather conditions are saying, stop. Stop. Or you need to put on some safety gear right now, or you're heading for an accident. Or we need to choose another route. God hasn't said to go that route on your road trip. We're warned to slow down. Oh, that's a hard one, isn't it? Because we're so used to doing our road trip at 90 miles. An hour, I say 90 miles. Yeah, it just shows how old I am, sorry. In the days of miles per hour. Okay, I'm not sure what that is. It's definitely over the speed limit. We're warned to slow down, or maybe we need to pull over and take a rest. Because we're tired. We're weary. And that's reality. One of these intrepid road trips took us to Wanaka. We had dear friends had loaned the family a week's stay in Wanaka in their lovely home that they've got down there. And so we flew to Queenstown, and it's all very exciting, the boys and the plane, and we rented a vehicle in Queenstown. So if you know Wanaka, you've got to land in Queenstown, and then you can't fly into Wanaka, you've got to drive. So we hired a van, and we all got into the van. And there's two ways you can go. You can go through, is it Cromwell? Is that right? Yeah, Cromwell, which is more of a flat, sort of a longer journey. Or you can go through the Crown Range. So the Crown Range is a mountain range, right? And this was winter time. So there was snow, there was ice, and of course, a car full of boys. We couldn't go the safe route. We had to go through the mountain range, right? So here we are going through the Crown Range, and there were people sort of stopping on the side because they either didn't have the safety gear or they had gotten stuck or something, and I think, oh my goodness. So it's very cold, and there's snow everywhere. So we get to a point going through the range, and there's a funny noise on the chain. We did have chains. We put chains on the wheels. Well, I didn't, but Richard did. And there was a funny noise on one of the chains, and so he said, well, we've got to pull over and we've got to fix this chain. So that was fine. So we pulled over. This was a slightly different vehicle than we'd driven before, and so it had column change, automatic, had a foot brake, and so that was a little bit new to us all, and we thought we were doing great. So we pull over, and he gets out to fix the chain. And I'm sitting in the back, because with four boys, you don't sit in the front, you sit in the back so you can stop them all poking and fighting and feed who needs feeding and whatever. So I just learned to sit in the back and maybe put one of them in the front to split them all up. So I'm sitting in the back, and all of a sudden we feel the van start to drift backwards. Very slowly at first, but there's this, you know how you feel this slow motion thing happening? It's like, oh my goodness. And I'm going, we're moving. And then the kids start crying, the one's screaming, and it was very slow, but it just all happened in slow motion. I'm thinking, there's no one in the driver's seat, and we're going backwards on the Crown Range on an icy road. And bless Shane. Shane's my second son, and he must have been all of 15 perhaps at the time. He just, I don't know, the Holy Spirit must have helped him, but he slid the van door back. We were actually moving a little quicker by this stage, and he jumped out the side door and opened the driver's door and jumped in and pushed the foot brake. And that all happened in such a short time, and you've got screaming in the car. And so praise God that he knew what to do. I couldn't get out. I was jammed in the middle. I was thinking, what's going to happen? Oh, my goodness. Fortunately, the camber of the road, which is the way the road leans, we were not going to go down the cliff. We would have gone into the ditch. So, you know, none of us would have died. But it still was very scary because it happened so quickly. But the funniest part was, later, this wasn't funny at the time, was my dear husband was actually trying to hold the van as it was... Sorry, love, but I have to tell that part. It wasn't funny. He instinctively grabbed the bumper, I guess, I don't know, to try and stop it. I don't know why he didn't run round to the driver's door, but anyway, the things you do when you're in a panic. So, one of our funny moments. Often, we get stuck, right? We get stuck on our road trip, or we feel ourselves drifting backwards. We receive some bad news. Maybe we lose a job. Maybe we have family relationship issues. We have a breakdown in ourselves. We have family pressure, health challenges, discouragement, unanswered prayer. I know I'm not alone in experiencing these things. You can feel like God's deserted you, or what he's allowing you to go through is just too hard. These are just a few interruptions to our nice road trip that we thought we were having. There was a time on my road trip when I became stuck. I was not appreciating this part of my road trip. Growing up, I often felt defeated and I had very little confidence. So I've said it before, but it's a minor miracle that I can stand up here in front of you. That's all to the glory of God. It's nothing to do with me. I was often depressed. I wished I was somebody else. I wished I was somewhere else. I even wished that I could trade the problems, this is crazy, that I had now for other problems. Anything to get me out of these problems. Just give me some different ones. That is ludicrous. But that's how we can get into wrong thinking, right? I fell into the trap of wishful thinking. I wished I had more confidence. I wished this, I wished that. Have you ever felt like that? This morning I want to share three things with you that I believe the Holy Spirit gave me. Three practical things that you can do that can help you when you get stuck. Because we all go through stuck moments on our road trip of life. Is that okay? So number one is faith-filled thinking instead of wishful thinking. See, a wishful thinking comes from seeing ourselves as lacking. We think we need this, we think we need that, which can lead to making plans for this or plans for that, or to go here or to go there, thinking that if we just make plans that God will bless us automatically. And this is a common trap that we can all walk into. Have you ever allowed your wishful thinking to guide you? Some of us on our road trip are so driven and independent from God that we can't hear his small voice saying, don't do that. Don't go there. Or go this way. You know, we need to dream big, but we need to let our dreams be led by God, not by our wishful thinking. And if we do this, we'll save ourselves a lot of heartache. There's a couple of scriptures I want to share with you, one from Proverbs chapter 16, verses 2 to 3. All the ways of a man or a woman are pure in his own eyes. You know, we like to think well of ourselves, don't we? Let's be honest. All of the ways of a person are pure in their own eyes. But the Lord weighs the spirit. The Lord weighs your heart. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. He doesn't say make your plans and then commit them to the Lord, right? It says commit it to God first, and then he'll establish your plans. He may say no. But he only does that to protect you. In James chapter 4, it says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you don't know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Brings perspective, doesn't it, to our planning, our road trip. A better way than wishful thinking is faith-filled thinking. You can wish away all your problems, or you can choose to trust God and that he knows what you're going through. God, he knows you better than you know yourself. So we need to know what God says about us. I challenge you to have a collection of personal promises that God has given you. And in a challenging time when I had begun a journey in my life, where part of my journey where it was particularly challenging, when I began to homeschool all of our four boys, I still don't know how I did that, except by the grace of God. But God gave me a promise right at the beginning of that. And I really wondered what on earth I had done when I brought them all home. One of them was a baby, and It was we had crazy days, great days, but some really crazy days. And that promise is found in Isaiah, and it's chapter 54, verse 13. And it goes like this: all your sons will be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace and undisturbed composure of your sons. That's the Amplified version. And I memorized that, and every time it was tough, I'd bring that to God and say, You said this. And even up to very recently, with the parenting challenges we've had, I have brought that promise before God again and again and again and again, and have held on to that. We need God's promises as anchors for our souls, because our souls will go off on a tangent and they'll start to think all sorts of stuff. I don't want to do this anymore. It's too hard. But if you've got promises that God has given you personally, you print them out, you put them on the wall of your bedroom, you carry around a notebook with you. You know, the word says, put it on your forehead, eat it. Not literally, but you know what I mean. Just devour it, hold on to it. It doesn't mean that life's going to be easy, but you're going to have a way through it. I went off on a tangent there. Now I've got to find where I'm up to. All right. I had to learn to think how God wanted me to think. I had to learn that things don't always turn out how I think they should in my perfect world. I had to learn to apply faith in difficult situations. You know, faith is a muscle. Some of us don't have many of those. But I know I've got that muscle, and it's gone. It's happened through hardship and difficulty and suffering, and I've had to exercise that muscle. It's the most important muscle that you can exercise, actually. It's your faith muscle. If you don't exercise your muscles, they go flabby, right? I know about that. So exercise your faith muscle. I began using the Word of God like a sword to fight off the enemy. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If we don't do this, folks, we're going to stay just limp and in victims of our situations and our circumstances. God has given us everything we need in his word. Pick it up. Use it. It's the sword of the Spirit. I found this extremely difficult because I had years of practicing all the wrong way, all the victim mentality and the negative thinking. I came across this book, Battlefield of the Mind, and I know that maybe many of you have read it, but this book was a real anchor for me in a season when I was struggling just with my own self-confidence and with depression, heaviness, and all sorts of stuff. I read it about 4 or 5 times. What I got the most out of this book was the scriptures that she had isolated, and they became my food. They became my memory verses. If you're not used to memorizing the Word of God, I encourage you. You don't have to do one a week or get into legalism or anything. You just pick one that God shows you, and you memorize it. You internalize it, and then you begin to pray it over your life. And this is how I dug myself out of the misery that I was in. So Battlefield of the Mind is a great book. So I know there are people in here that are having a difficult time. I know we all show up looking all scrubbed up and we, you know, put on our best smile for church. But I've been around long enough to know that each one of you will have something that is concerning you, maybe really deeply worrying you. So what I want to do is something practical right now. There's another little booklet I want to show you that many of you will be familiar with, and it's like, oh, that, yeah, I've seen that. It's a great tool. It's a great tool. Unfortunately, we don't have any copies at the book table, which I'm a bit gutted about this morning, but you can email the office for a soft copy, and I'm sure they'll send you one. This is packed full of scriptures that you can pray over yourself. So if you fall into that category of a person that has got worries and concerns, and I'd be very surprised if there's somebody who doesn't have any of that in their lives. I want to show you what I would do. I would pray this over my life. I'm sorry if this is elementary for people, but I think we need to be reminded how to use the Word of God. In the very beginning, there are faith confessions. Remember, we're putting on faith-filled thinking, not wishful thinking. So I would pray this. This is scripture. I thank you, God, I'm a child of God, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Now, something spiritual happens when you pray that over your life. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not conformed to this world, but I am transformed by the renewing of my mind so that I can prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I thank you, Lord, that I will overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of my testimony, and by not loving my own life unto death. I thank you, God, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you turn these scriptures into prayers. And you, if you don't know what to pray in your situation, you pick up these scriptures and you pray them over your life. If you only did that, your whole world would change. I know, because it happened for me. I'm just testifying to what God has done. So get one of these or dig it out of the closet, wherever it is, and start using it. All right. The second thing I want us to practice when we become stuck on our road trip is contentment instead of complaining. It's getting a bit edgy, isn't it? Sorry. As a child, I was also blessed to go on many road trips with, well, not many, but quite a few road trips with my family. I grew up with three other siblings, so there was six of us all together, much like my own family. I have two other sisters and a brother. And I don't remember people owning seven-seaters back then. This was a long time ago. Or vans that people would travel in. The vans were usually for transporting stuff, not people in those days. So here we were, mum and dad and four kids stuffed into a station wagon. That was as best we could come. I think someone illegally was lying down on the back tray. I'm not sure, but it was jammed. And I remember not long into the road trip, when I was a child, asking my favorite question to my dear father. Yeah, similar. How many more miles? Yes, miles, there we go again. How many more miles, or are we there yet? Hoping that that might change the length of the trip, right? And hoping it might change the discomfort I was feeling jammed up against my siblings. But I don't remember my dad being impatient. All I remember him saying was, "Look at the beautiful view, children." The view was the last thing that I wanted to look at. I just wanted to get there because I'm sick of being poked and prodded, and I feel sick because I'm stuffed in the back. And all I could think about was my discomfort. How about your road trip experience? Let's go back to that, the journey of your life. Are you focusing on the discomfort all the time? Or do you take time to look at the beautiful view? Now, I want us to stay in reality. Some of us live with pain and suffering every day. So this is not being in denial of the reality that's happening around you. But God can cope with us being in that moment where we're suffering before him. But then he wants us to look up. And he wants us to look at the view. God has given us so much to be thankful for, hasn't he? Even if all you can thank God for your eyes, the breath you breathe, the fact you have a roof over your head and you have clothing to wear, there is a lot to be thankful for. The Bible never promises that we will not face hard times or difficult situations, but it does promise us God's strength and his grace to help us in these times. The Apostle Paul, he found a key to a life of peace and contentment in times of trouble, and he shares that with us in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, 12 to 13. Thank you. I've learned by now to be quite content, whatever my circumstances. I'm just as happy with little as with much. With much as with little. I've found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. And whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. Isn't that beautiful? That's the Message Bible. Discontent can lead to worry. And Paul is not without his troubles. He's in prison, so no doubt he's got plenty to be worried about. However, he then goes on to write, well, actually it's just before that, but anyway, Philippians 4, 6 to 7, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. I love that. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. This instruction about what to do with worry comes with a promise, as you can see on the screen. It's a promise of peace. Corrie ten Boom defined worry as a cycle of ineffective thoughts whirling round a center of fear. So one thing I have found helpful, and again being very practical, is to allow God to use my imagination in dealing with obstacles. For example, after praying about my concerns, I will often bundle them up in an imaginary parcel in my mind's eye. Or you can do it yourself. I mean, you can make your parcel. Whatever God, the picture God gives me, and I will physically hurl it up to God. And I can testify that at that moment, the peace of God comes down upon me because I've actually made myself release something. Sometimes we can say, I give it to you, God, but we're actually still holding on to it. So I've found it helpful to do practical things. So we're going to do that now. So I want you to close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. No one's looking at anybody. I want you to imagine in your mind's eye something that worries you, something that you're concerned about, that you think about a lot, that bugs you, that just doesn't go away. It's always there. It could be a person, it could be finances, it could be health, it could be all manner of things. Whatever it is that worries you at the moment. Now I want you to imagine a package in front of you. It could be a basket, it could be a box, it could be, I was going to say a trailer, but it's a bit hard to lift a trailer, so maybe we won't put the trailer there, but something that you put it into. Maybe it's a bag. And I've just been praying and asking God to show people pictures today because it's a powerful medium for dealing with things and it's powerful to connect you with God. God wants to use your imagination to help you. So put that thing or those people or whatever it is in that box, bag, parcel, whatever it is. Now I want you to tie it up or do it up, seal it in some way. Might be tape, could be a bow, could be whatever you imagine it to be. Right, now I want you to pick that thing up. And after committing it to God, like, God, I just give you this. And in your imagination, in your mind, you can pray the prayer. I give you that person. I give you that thing. I give you my job. I give you my whatever it is. And I want you to pick it up now and hurl it up to God. And you might feel a bit self-conscious doing that physically, but I find practically if I do it with my hands and actually put action into it, it helps me even more. So just pick that package up, and if you want to do it, I'm not even looking at you right now, and you want to just hurl it up to God. Just give it up to Him. Throw it up. Release it into your care, Lord. Take it all. I can't deal with it. I can't carry this. You take it. And I trust you with it. In Jesus' name. Right, you can open your eyes. Who feels better already? Yep, a few people. Good. You have to practice it. It feels weird, I know, because you think, oh, that's a bit strange. But it works. It's worked for me. Content makes poor men rich. This is Benjamin Franklin now. Content makes poor men rich. Discontent makes rich men poor. I'm just going to leave those sayings hanging. All right, another thing to practice when we become stuck on our road trip is number three. This is the last one. Service instead of self-seeking. Service instead of self-seeking. One of the traps that we can fall into when we hit a roadblock, whether it be that God says no, or our vehicle of life loses grip and ends up in a ditch, maybe depression or anxiety, or maybe we break down and our vehicle breaks down, the engine needs help, maybe a physical condition, health crisis, or the kids are having a full-on fight in the back seat, which can be family relationship breakdown. Or someone's throwing up and you've got to pull over. There's an emergency, right? Parents will know that one. You just got to stop. Everything stops when that happens. So just a reminder of that first picture I showed you of our lovely trip to 90 Mile Beach. We're driving along this wonderful road, which is sand, and the beach is on one side, and we come across a combi van, and you guessed it, it was stuck, because you shouldn't take a combi van on 90 Mile Beach. Anyway, we could have kept driving, because it was a lovely day, and we had not anticipated an interruption to our lovely road trip. So why should we stop? But we did stop. The tide was coming in, and the owner was panicking. Can you help us? Can you help us? Of course, we did have a four-wheel drive, and we had a tow rope. He needed help to get his van to higher ground, because otherwise it would have been destroyed by the tide. Opportunities to serve seldom come at convenient times. We had a wonderful man of God who said that over Richard and my life years ago, David McCracken. Opportunities to serve seldom come at convenient times. It wasn't convenient. So we hooked up our big horn with a tow rope and we pulled the van up the beach to safety. You know, Jesus isn't interested in a consumer mentality. He said, if anyone wants to serve me, he must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. You see, we're qualified to serve him when we follow him. Sometimes we get that round the wrong way. We run into trouble when our reason for serving is about us and not about him. We bring our talents and gifts to share. But when it's done without Christ at the center, we set ourselves up for pride. So service is a result of following Christ, Him being in charge. We don't serve and then tack God on the end and like a genie or a lucky charm to qualify ourselves. One of the hardest things we can ultimately learn, and I had to learn this when I first came into this movement of churches, is that it's not about you. Ooh, that was so offensive. But I welcome that now. It's not about you, Chrissy. It's not about you. It's about Him. So are you following Him? Then you can serve Him. Being on the road trip or the journey with God means that we're not center of stage. He is. It's all about His glory. And when it's about His glory, we'll find it easier to serve one another. Can I have the keys to come up, please? By the way, the second part of that story of the combi van, when we met the owner of the combi van, we pulled him up to the top of the beach and everything was safe and they were so grateful. He told us that he was a chef. And he happened to work in a restaurant in Albany. So here we were way up far north. It's a long way up the island. And we meet this guy who works not very far from where we live. And he said, I'm so grateful. Let me cook for you. Wow. Now this was in the days where we were on MPD. We had four hungry boys. We didn't go out for dinner. Couldn't afford to go out for dinner. We might go to McDonald's, but we wouldn't go to a restaurant with all of them. So this was like, yeah, I know, that's asking for a bill and a half. So we just in, and he cooked for my family to thank us. What a blessing that was to us. And we didn't know that when we towed him. We didn't expect anything. See, there are blessings for serving. It's the law of sowing and reaping. And when you give out, not that you give out to get, but God just remembers and He goes, yeah, I saw what you did. I saw when you were in pain and you kept going. You served out of your lack. You gave out of your lack. God sees those things and He wants to bless you. So just recapping on our points now. Faith-filled thinking results in contentment and a readiness to serve. And you've got to get that in the right order. When we apply faith, we become content. Then we're ready to march. We're ready to do whatever God has asked us to do, even in the middle of our difficult situation. Don't wait for a convenient time to serve. There is no convenient time. That's a myth. But when you do serve, you will reap a blessing from God, even if it's just knowing His smile upon you. He truly appreciates everything that we do. So are you faith-filled or are you stuck in wishful thinking? Are you content or do you find yourself complaining? Are you following Him? Then you can serve Him. So here's what I want you to do. Again, I'm very practical. When you go away from this place, that was a nice message. But I want you to do something. Activate. Number one, activate faith-filled thinking. Say that after me. Activate faith-filled thinking. And this is how you do it, by finding God's promises for your situation that you're in. Personalize the promise, making it I and me instead of him and her and they, and that you make it your own. You pray it over your life. You put it up on your wall. You read it every day. You memorize it. You internalize it. It's work. But if you want to be close to God, it requires some effort. So I encourage you to activate faithful thinking. Number two, look for things to be thankful for. After me, look for things to be thankful for. Every day. Every day. And that will help you stay content in your difficulties. There's always something to be thankful for. And the third one is begin to serve. Say, begin to serve. If you're not already serving in some capacity in the community, in your family, in your church, then I encourage you to serve God. It won't feel convenient, and it may cost you time, perhaps even money. But God is looking for those that are going to follow Him and serve Him. Can we all close our eyes? I want to pray for you. First of all, I just want to pray for those who feel stuck on their road trip. I know that there are people in here that are struggling with personal issues, difficulties, and we don't know what's around each corner and the intrepid things that can happen on our journey with God. Maybe you've gotten stuck on wrong thinking. Maybe you've forgotten that there is a purpose to every situation. Or maybe you're just discouraged. Father, I just lift up these people before you, Father. They know who they are. Father, I pray for a deep sense of your love over their lives right now. And that, God, you see their pain and you see the difficult situations that they are facing. It is not past your gaze. And that, Lord, you are in the center of it. I pray that you would use these situations, Lord, to help those in need to develop their faith muscle. I pray for personal promises in your word as they open your word. Personal promises, God, that they can claim every day. I pray for a real knowledge that you are in control, that you have a plan, that you will never leave us or forsake us, that nothing is impossible for you, and that they are one day closer to their breakthrough. They don't have to live yesterday. That anything can happen tomorrow, and maybe that's the day. So Lord, I pray for a spirit of hope over them, for hopelessness. Give them hope. May they fix their eyes on you in the midst of the difficulty and know that they are safe with you. And as they package those, bundle those worries and cares into the box or whatever you've given them in their imagination, that, Lord, you have those things because you're trustworthy and you care and you love them. Thank you, Lord. You are so faithful. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to keep us to keep our eyes closed. I want to pray for those, perhaps there may be some here that don't know God. You'd like to know God, but or maybe you've wandered away. Maybe you've had no knowledge of God and His love and purpose for your life. And I believe that everyone's looking for inner peace. So while we just have our eyes closed, I just want to speak to those people. Maybe you're longing for a relationship with Jesus that will give you that peace. You know, Jesus took our place and died a terrible death on the cross so that we could have forgiveness and relationship with God forever. But in order to enter into that relationship with Him, we need to trust Him to take all of our wrongdoing and all of our shame. And if you've come to the place in your life where you want to ask Jesus to come into your life and to begin a relationship with Him, a relationship that brings peace into your life. I want to invite you to slip your hand up and I count to three. Just everybody keep their eyes closed to respect this moment. If you want to begin a relationship with Jesus and have the peace of God, which passes all understanding, that will keep your heart and your mind safe, I want to invite you to lift your hand so that I can know to pray for you. No one else is looking. So I'm going to count to three now. Just pray that if that's you, you would be bold enough to put your hand up. Okay, one, two, three. Lift your hand up high if that's you. Praise the Lord. If this message has touched your heart and you didn't feel brave enough to do that, please come and see me afterwards or one of the leaders down the front here. You can open your eyes now. I want to thank you all for listening, and it's been a pleasure to minister this morning. So I want to remind you of next week, our wonderful dedication Sunday. Who's coming? Yes, good. It's going to be full. Come early. It's going to be a great Sunday of celebration. You don't want to miss it. All right, may God bless you. There's tea and coffee. If you would like any personal ministry or prayer, please come forward and we'll be at the front to help you. So have a wonderful day and a day off tomorrow. Thank you.